You're listening to the Resurgent ATL Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you so much. I'll say yes every single time. No problem. I love you guys. It's no secret to it. Jackie loves you too. She's not here because she's preaching there. Your pastor, what was the phrase that you told me when I came in today? That I look like I was partying all night? Was something like that? Yeah. Please tell your people what you said.
I said you look like you've been on a 20-day drug.
I was partying last night. Got home at 2, and then it changed to 3. Woke up at 6, and I'm here. And it's so amazing to be here. It was my anniversary this week. It was a nice week, 27 years and counting. Yeah, that woman should be canonized. She's amazing. Yeah, last night people were like, oh, congrats. I was like, congrats her. She is the reason why we're here. But it's so good to be here. I mean, I love you guys. It's such a pleasure. Every single time Chris and Terry invite me to come, it's always a yes. And it's so, you guys have such a presence. You guys carry a presence. And you steward in such a way that I love it. I love being here. I love being in worship with you guys. I love seeing your pastors worship. You guys have such a precious thing going on here. Don't look. Wow. A lot of times, I think the church, we got everything twisted because of how social media especially shows us things. Everyone lives a perfect life. Every church is amazing. Like in our church, we have photographers in every service. And you know, my number one thing is don't take pictures of empty seats. I'm being real. No one wants to see empty seats, but we have plenty. So many times we look at pictures and we're like, oh, those, they are doing amazing. No, you guys are doing amazing. And yesterday we had a great friend of mine. He came from Brazil with his whole band, 13 people. And he gave us a concert there for us to charge to raise money to the church to finish the building on the back there. And we had a full house. We pulled out every single chair we could. And at the end, they were like, do you want us to set everything back? I was like, no. But pastor, it's too much. I was like, no. I want to see those empty seats. I saw them filled tonight. And people were paying for it. So I was like, we need to see those empty seats there so we can visualize that people will be sitting in those seats. So if you have an empty seat close to you, just lay hands on it and say, someone will sit on this seat. There will be no more empty seats here. And you know what? On Easter, fill this place up. Invite everyone you can. You guys have an amazing atmosphere in this place. And I'm here to tell you the truth. I'll probably say it if it was not the truth. But it is the truth. And I love your pastors. I love their heart. I love the perseverance that they carry. And they have a very special place in our hearts. Go, you guys started. During that time, I was living inside my office. I guess I told you guys the story. I'm reliving it. I'm not living inside my office now, but I'm living inside a full rental house that we just bought it 6 months to go. So I'm beat up by construction. No, we're living an amazing time, and I love my wife. But I remember sleeping in my office. That was my bedroom for 79 days. It was supposed to be 30 days. It turned out to be 79. And on Saturdays, we would come in, back in, and there would be such an atmosphere in that building because you guys were meeting there. You know, a friend of mine yesterday, she was telling me that she went into Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, and she went into their prayer room, and as she came in, she said, "There, you just want to pray." And every single time I would go back to my room, my office, I wanted more of Jesus. I want more of the presence because you guys were there. And this is happening in this place. During the season, you guys are still here. This is happening in this place. People are coming in Monday through Friday, and they are feeling a hunger for the Lord. And I want to share with you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. I think it may be more, but in your spiritual life, at least three, you have to have three memorials. The day that you were saved. People sometimes ask me, how do I know if I'm saved? I was like, you have a past. That's the best way to put it. You have a past, and you know a day that your life was completely changed. So in my case, it was in May of 1992. I know my day, my life was completely changed from that day on. The second moment was when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I was saved, and then I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I know exactly where I was. It was on a all-night prayer service that we were doing to prepare for an evangelistic event. I was like 2 months into being born again, and I just saw everything happening. I was like, I want it. That day, I don't know the place. I try to remember and recall where is that place. I just know where I was. I don't know whose farm I was in. It was kind of a farm or something. And the third one, it's when you have the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone. And you see someone in front of you coming out of darkness into the light. We all of us here, we need to have those three experiences. The two first ones, they are unique. And they're once and forever in your life. But the third one, it's something that we need more in our lives, in our families, in our churches. When I came to America, I thought this country was a Christian country. You guys brought the gospel to Brazil. You guys brought the gospel to Brazil. And I was like, everyone is Christian there. Then I came and reality hit. And I saw that when the Lord brought us here, we were being sent out as missionaries. And we are here with you. We are here to see people being saved. And what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us to be transformed into witnesses. And somehow, I think us included, me included, we transformed it into a personal experience of delight, and it is. But we want always to fall. We want always to laugh. We always want to jump and do everything. But it's not how we fall, but what do we do after we fall? What do we do after we laugh? What do we do after we cry? What do we do after we experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit? And we are all called to be full of the Holy Spirit constantly. You guys with me? Daylight savings time, baby. And in John 19. Do we have verses up? Okay. John 20, verse 19. We have the experience of salvation happening in the life of the disciples. This is when I believe, you may believe differently, the church was born. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This word here is one of the hardest words for me as a Brazilian to say. It's breathe. My wife was giving me lessons this morning. It did not work. I went into Webster's. It did not work. I forgot about it. But you got the point. He blew unto them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the moment where Jesus, being resurrected, released salvation to their lives. They recognized Jesus. You may think different. This is my personal belief, but it's not the point. So this is the birth of the church. This is the moment where the Holy Spirit came in. We always have to have this moment, the first one. The day that you know you were saved. The day that you know you were totally under sin, under condemnation, under darkness. And all of a sudden, life came on the inside of you. And you were completely different. I always ask people who grew up in church, when were you saved? Oh, I was born in church. I was like, no, when were you saved? No one is born in church. You have to be born again. You may be in church your whole life. And I'm talking about this. I did it with my son. I was like, when did Jesus become real to you? You have to have that day. You have to have the day where you know the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you forever. And once he came in, everything was different. Everything was different. I love what you shared today. I love your testimony. Tithes and offerings is not about money. It's about a relationship with the Father. It's trusting that. If he said so, why not do it? You know, but that is foolishness for someone who is not born again. That is crazy. People will listen to you and say, "Nah, you're one more brainwashed guy. So they got you now, huh?" No, it's not about that. So, born again, Jesus breathed on them. In Luke 24:49, which is very close to this moment here, after he was resurrected, he's getting ready to go back to the Father. And he says, "Hey guys, listen to this." Luke 24:49. "And I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps around you." Hey, I'm going back to the Father, but there's one more thing to happen. Stay here. Stay here together. Seek. Come. The promise is coming. Yeah, you're going to hear a very good English this morning. Get ready. Ask the Holy Spirit for translation. Interpretation of tongues. You're going to need it. "And I will send, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are," this is the second word. The first one is breathed. The second one is clothed. I have no idea how to say this thing. I tried. Clothed. Jack said, "Just try putting a V." Clothed? I was like, no, that's so wrong. So, until you are wrapped around with his presence. Now it's not just here, now it's here. And this promise that he was talking about, you guys know this way better than me. It's Joel's promise that the Holy Spirit will come every single one of you. And Jesus said, hey guys, get ready. Stay in the city until you experience this, until you have number two being fulfilled in your life. This number two, the first promise is, I will come as Emmanuel to save you. I'll come as the Savior. The second one is, the Holy Spirit will come and he would surround you. He would vest you. He will clothe you. He will fill you to the point that you would not hold back. I believe every single one of you here has experienced this. You are in the right church for it. But what is the purpose? Jesus says in Mark, I think it's 16:16, if we can go there. Also Matthew 28:16, I guess. 28:26. One before, 15. And he said to them, as you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. He'll be here next Sunday. If he needs to correct this, he will do it, okay? For some reason, we threw away Jesus' words. And we took St. Francis Assisi's word. That preach the gospel, if needed, use words. No, Jesus is saying, use words. He's saying, use words. You have to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. That Jesus came as a man to die for us. He gave himself as the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, to die in our place so we could be free from all wrath, all condemnation, all past, all sickness, everything that was bad. And we could now become witnesses of everything he did. So I want to propose to you this morning that the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, is for you to go and preach the gospel. Share the gospel. You just shared about this young man. His dad is certain that he will meet him again. Why? The gospel was shared. The Apostle Paul, and as we go back to Peter and Paul and all those guys, Peter experienced the most amazing feeling of the Holy Spirit, the original one, the Pentecost one. And you guys want to go there? Let's go to Acts 2. So you said that I can go up around 1:30, 2 p.m. is fine. Okay, thank you. We're going to have a break, and you're going to get some cashews or peanuts and a cup of water, and that's it, just like Delta. Delta, because on others, you're paying for it. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, 50 days later, all the disciples were gathered together in one place, and suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. Listen to this. How was the first experience, Craig? It was a blow. He?
Breathed.
See? Thank you. So every single time that I meet you, use the word clothed and breathed.
Breathed.
You're doing it. See, perfect English. This guy's learning. I may turn into Espírito Santo, vem aqui. So the first one, it was a blow, a breath. The purpose was, I'm doing something on the inside of you. to bring you out, to show you purpose, to save you and to take you out of this into this new kingdom. The second one, he said, it's not just a breath. Now is a mighty, rushy wind. The first one, Jesus said, if you drink from the water that he gives in John 4, what happened? Rivers of living water will come out of you. If you experience his breath, you have the breath of life coming out of you. The second one, you have a mighty rushing wind coming out of you to share the gospel. It was so, listen to that. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. The closer you get to a waterfall, the less you can communicate. Because it becomes so powerful, so grand. My wife and I, we are tired of traveling to big cities. Enough of it. Now we love nature. We go to Colorado, we go to Utah, we go to Arizona. You get there, you're like, come on, Jesus. I wonder how you did this. Because it's so amazing. It takes your breath away. And then you go and you are talking, you are walking. And as you get closer to a waterfall, the sound becomes so loud that you can barely talk. You have to scream. You have to shout at each other, basically. People looking from far away think that you are fighting. The voice of the Lord is like many waters. Rushing wind, many waters. Guys, we are not called to be this God's little lambs. For some reason, we have been domesticated. And we think church is just sitting here on Sundays, receiving a good word, giving our tithes and offerings. Everything is good, and we have to do it. But there's way more than that. There's way more than that. You guys are building something so amazing here. But let me tell you something. The purpose of everything that is happening here is for you to become a witness. Yeah. It's for me to become a witness. It's for us to share with the hurting people of the world. Hey, you were not guilty. He died for you. It's for you to go to someone that has been enslaved by drugs all their lives and say, hey, he paid the price for you. You don't need to live like this. I have one of our sons in the faith there, he's part of the presbytery of the church, the key leadership of the church. He came to our church in, I think, 2007. And I remember to this day when he was saved. The altar call, the way he came to the front. And on that day, that guy was completely delivered from cocaine. He was on a seven-day non-sleep, trying to break his record. Every single time he was getting sleepy, he would snort some more cocaine to be awake. 7 days without sleep. And then he came to church. And then he got high. And then he experienced the joy that he was always seeking. And then he got to know the Father that so loved him, that gave his only son to die for him. That guy is married, has three amazing kids. 4 years ago, as a church, we beat leukemia with his middle son. Went to treatment and everything. He was completely healed. He's completely healed. They were there last night. He served up to 3 a.m. this morning, preparing the building for the service. And at 8 a.m., I called him. I was like, did you return the keyboard that we got, that we borrowed? No, Pastor. I was like, bruh, you better go. Why? This guy is so into the Lord. I've seen people, friends of his, that come to him and say, God is not real. He was like, bruh. I'm not kidding you. I've seen him stop cars. Downtown Atlanta, we're serving food. He stopped cars and said, Jesus loves you. I was like, you can get killed by doing that. But I like it. The more forgiven you were, the more loved you know you are. And the more you know that you are loved, the more you share the love. The more you share the love. So we sing this morning that we love him. But we can only love him in the same measure we know that he loves us. Because we love him because he loved us first. So the more in love we fell with him, understanding that he loves us and he loved us and his love is perfect and amazing and his grace covers every single sin in our lives, the more effective we are in sharing the gospel. Because the more we understand this, the more we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. First one, second one, the third one is sharing the gospel. Becoming a witness. Right after Pentecost, you can read there. We're not going to do it. But you can read that Peter preached for the first time. We're talking about the guy that 50 days before, or 53 days before, denied Christ three times. Went back to fishing. Gave up on everything. It was under such condemnation that he was like, no, I am not a fisher of men. And he was restored. But when he is filled with the Holy Spirit, he was like, everyone needs to know. No, we are not drunk. Hey, we are not drunk. This is what was promised. So resurgent, this morning I want to challenge you. Go out and tell people, hey, you want a drink? I can tell you someone that will give you the water of life. Jesus calls that woman and calls out prophetically, hey, you've been married for five times, and now you're living with the sixth. I think that's it, right? I got the numbers right. You know the idea. But Jesus didn't say, hey, you have to do this, 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 and that in order for you to share the gospel. She just went. And what I love about that is that she goes into the city. And she was like, hey, there's a man there that told me everything. You guys think that he is the Messiah? And Jesus told her, I am. I am. She did not fall like the soldiers. Because Jesus revealed himself to her. And she was like, I am not certain, but you guys have to come and see it. We have to share the gospel. The purpose of us being filled is to tell people about the great news. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power for salvation of all those who believe. Power for salvation. Power for salvation. Are you guys mad at me because I trashed St. Francis Assisi's phrase? Sorry. Seems like group code. Not that phrase. Jane Johnson said it. I'm sorry. I always said that. But recently, I was like, that's what, not what Jesus said. I respect him. And I honored him for who he was. But Jesus said, go and preach. Go and proclaim. Go and speak. He gave us the authority of his name. He gave us the authority of his name. He gave us a great commission. A mission. We are commissioned. We are not just doing church until he comes back. We are not just doing church until whatever, till we die. No, we are here to release the power of the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are here to preach the gospel using words. We are here to tell people, He loves you. He died for you. He died for you. This would be a completely different story if that boy had never heard the gospel. We do some evangelistic retreats. And many years ago, we were doing one retreat, and there was a young man, I think he was like 17, 18 at the time. His name was Thomas. And he was there. And there's this time where we share the gospel and we present to everyone. And on that exact moment, he decided, I want to leave. I don't want to stay here. And we were like, man, stay. Please stay. Don't go. I was like, no. That's it. And I'm not saying this to you guys to bring any condemnation or anything, but he was killed 2 days later. A car accident. It really happened. And I have no idea if that boy was saved or not. I know he walked out the very moment the gospel was presented to him. Maybe he had a time where he recognized before he died it was a terrible car crash. But you know one thing? I got the team together and I was like, this is why we need to preach. This is why we're doing this. This is why the church exists. It's not to have fun until we reach heaven. There's a lot of people dying. And there's a lot of people who needs to come here to hear the gospel, to be discipled by you guys. Guys, there's nothing better after the first two moments than to see someone coming into life. And we need to see that in our churches. We need to see that in our kids' classes. We need to teach our kids, hey, share the gospel in your school. Because the world is sharing a completely different message to them. Sometimes I feel like either everyone is crazy or I am crazy. I turn on TV, I'm like, it's either of them. Someone is crazy here. And I think it's us. I think I am. Because the Bible says that it's the gospel is foolishness. We are crazy people. I love it. I love it. You know the verse that is the base of my ministry? God did not call the wise, but He called the foolish to shame the wise. That's my verse. It's my life motto. What if, where is Stephen? He's back in the back? Stephen. What is this? Yeah, you. I love this guy. Can you say the Holy Spirit? I'm being boycotted here. I knew it. I shouldn't have said it. Please come next Sunday. Pastor Chris will be here. Please say it. The Holy Spirit was not given to me for entertainment, but for purpose. We are the body of Christ. We carry His life. We carry His message. We carry His works. We carry His name. We are not just anyone. Tell someone, you're not anyone, just anyone. How do your parents tell us? You are not everyone, or you are not. In Portuguese makes sense, I don't know. Everyone does it. You were not everyone. Is that same way? You heard that? Everyone does it. You were not everyone. And I hear the Holy Spirit telling you, you are not everyone. You are different. A lot of people dance, but you dance for Him. By the way, I'm going to make it the 130. No, you don't want to see me dancing. It's not just dancing, it's dancing for Him. It's not just singing, it's singing for Him. It's not just doing your work, it's doing as if you are doing to Him. It's working where you are, understanding that you are a missionary there. In 1999, Jackie and I, we were house cleaners. We did that through college. And Jackie hated it. Hated it. I mean, it was the worst thing ever. She came from a middle, upper class family in Brazil. And she hated it. But we were doing it for the purpose of college. And one day, go ahead and play whatever you want. Sorry, Stephen. Sorry, my bad. And one day we were cleaning this house. We used to clean this house every Wednesday afternoon. Are we broadcasting this? No? Awesome. And there was this client. She lives here. You may know her. I love her. Her name is Mary Ellen Brantley. And she was not nice to us. You know, she was very strong. She would say things. She would complain. And we were doing for purpose. So we understood why we were there. It was for money. We really needed it. But one day we were there. And she comes in crying. And we were cleaning the house, you know. As that happens, you're like, I'm not going to stay here. Let me go clean something else. But there was no way to do that. And we came to her. We were like, what happened? And she was like, my partner, such and such that you knew, the lady was there all the time. She said, she took everything from me. Business, everything. I trusted her. She took everything. And I remember like it was today. If my English is bad today, imagine back then. He's real. He's sincere, see? Yeah, you were like, no, it's not that bad. We can understand about 20% of what you're preaching. And I don't know how, besides the power of the Holy Spirit, that we started to share the gospel with her. And on her living room in Buckhead, in that house, on Paces Valley. Paces Valley is here. It's another valley. Another valley. Yeah. She gave her life to Christ. She gave her life to Christ because there were two people there with broken English. One that hated to be there, my wife. But when time came, we realized this is it. This is the reason why we're here. It's another type of cleaning. And she gave her life to Christ and she never turned back. And it was so amazing because as weeks passed and we were there, we became family. She would come in, hug us, and talk to us, and ask Bible questions. And Mary Ellen taught me that I was not just anybody. that it doesn't matter what she had and what I had, and she needed what I had. We are still in touch. She lives nearby. Still loving the Lord. She's still sharing the Lord. And I carry that throughout my life as a testimony. It's, you have to see with God's eyes that He has planted you where you are. If it's a school, that's cool. Oh, I cannot share the gospel. Share the gospel. Oh, in that office, it's prohibited. No. Pray and ask. He will give you. All of a sudden, people will come to you and start to share their lives with you, their problems with you. Out of the sudden. And you sow the seed. But let me ask you, please, don't give them coaching. Give them the gospel. Pastor Chris, I stopped counseling people based on experience, marital problems. I stop. They come to me. I was like, pray and read the Bible. Really? I tell them, I'm not a marriage counselor. If you want to go to one, I'm a pastor. I'm going to share the gospel with you. Tiago, you know him. His life was completely restored. Here I am in Mount Shasta, trying to snowboard. Translation, rolling down the mountain. My phone rings. I'm leaving my wife. I found out that she is using drugs. I found out that she's taking the baby on the car with her. She's drinking. She's using drugs. She has betrayed me. I'm leaving her. I'm like, you have all the right to be mad, but don't make any decisions until I come back. I'm coming back on Tuesday. We talk on Tuesday or Wednesday. Then you make your decision. That's the only thing I want to ask. Go to a hotel. Do whatever you want. We come back. I told them, I said, the only way this will work is if you guys read the Bible together, if you pray together, if you share what the Lord is speaking with you, and if you seek the Holy Spirit's help. Because for me, we just need the Holy Spirit. We have brought so many things into our lives, and these guys here, they had the Holy Spirit. We have the Word, the Holy Spirit. We have the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. He will correct whatever He needs to correct next week. But you know what? And then I told them, I said, we're going to do this. This is our game plan. We're going to meet every single week until needed. Then we're going to meet every other week. Then monthly. Then whatever. I had no idea what I was saying. I was just like, let's buy some time here. It was bad. It was really bad. I mean, it was like one of those situations you put your pastoral face on. You look to your wife and we're like, God help us! A week came by. I'm sitting in my office getting ready to do every single thing I've done before. Go through the same stuff, to hear the same complaints, the same problems, the same thing, to tell the same thing. They come in holding hands, smiling. I was like, something is wrong. Sat down together and they looked at each other with passionate faces. I was like, it's really wrong. What happened here? And they were like, Pastor, we did what you told us. We started to read the Bible together. Tiago said, on the second night, I confessed to her that I was addicted to porn. And we started to praise. We start to take the word and declare over our family, over our house. And they were like, on the third day, that was it. It was like nothing ever happened. Praise Jesus. It was really only him. From that moment on, every single couple that comes in, I was like, this is what you're going to do. Really? That's all we need. That's all we need. Stop using crutches. Stop blaming your parents. You have Abba. You have Abba. He's your all-loving daddy. Oh, you don't know my upbringing. I don't need to know. If you were born again, you have an Abba that is perfect. And he gave you his spirit to you. And his spirit is a mighty rushing wind. So the secret for people to get out of drugs and sin, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so easy, guys. Really. Oh, you don't know what I go through. I don't need you. No, I have the Word. Acting faith. We are the faith people. Don't give up on your marriage. Seek the Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We have no idea how this is going to work, but we need you. Come, make do a miracle. I have seen people being healed from all kinds of sickness. What is a restoration for him? If you know marriages, they are falling apart, invite them into a relationship with Jesus and tell them the Holy Spirit can help you. It's not easy like that. It's not easy. It's craziness. I'm not going to lift an iPad. Thank you. So glad I'm near a real pastor this morning. We have the Spirit. We have the book. We have the promises. We have the authority. I'm gonna say it. Stop blaming your pastors or the worship people for the service you had. It's not them, it's you. I can go to a Chinese church and have no idea what they are singing about or preaching about and experience the Holy Spirit there. Because it's not about people, it's about Him. It's about Him. You guys have an amazing worship team. Amazing. But it's not about them. If for some reason they don't show up one day, have church. Sing. If one day all the whole sound system stops working, have a very good and nice primitive service. This is one thing I missed, and we don't have that on that building. The building that we were before on Wiley Road, the power would always crash during services. Like, I mean, if a cloud would stop by, it would fall. Doing praise and worship. And the worship went on and on and on. And there were times that I was preaching without a microphone, and it was amazing. So normally what I do now is I turn to Chris, which is the music director, and I was like, and we'll sing. Just the voices. Just the voices. Just what he hears. Because if it was based on the gift, Stephen, with a V. PH, Stephen, I was right, would be way better than me. I cannot play anything. But it's not about playing. It's about here. In spirit and in truth. Same spirit, same connection. And I have to finish. 11:50, 2 hours of service. Is that 11:50, really? I'm operating on the other time. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to come back. Every single time I mess up. Thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you for the grace that this pastor shows with me. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you for more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of the Holy Spirit. Our kids need more of the Holy Spirit. Our school system, they need more Holy Spirit being released. And I would like for you to stand if you want to. And if you want to come to the front, please come. Sing whatever you guys want to sing. But I feel like you know what? Let's all come to the front. Yes. Pastor Chris will be here next Sunday. I have to keep on reminding them, Craig. For it to get better, it gets worse. So, welcome to the worst. We have to best next week. I'm kidding. Just by you coming to the front, the atmosphere here is completely changed. Holy Spirit, we want more of you. Holy Spirit, we need you so badly. Jesus, we thank you because out of your mouth you promised us that you would go back to the Father to intercede for us. And the Holy Spirit will come to live on the inside of us and to surround us with your presence, to make us witness. Holy Spirit, just open your mouth and tell him that you want more of him, that you need more of him. Be thankful for what you have, but declare, I want more. I want more. Holy Spirit, we want more this morning.
Like a flame of fire.
Yeah.
Come like a rushing wind. Our praise will ring the heavens. Come fall afresh again.
For more resources and information about Resurgent ATL, please visit our website,